Maybe we should start doing that in here. Well, I'm glad to see you guys here in Sunday school. We're kind of holding our own, and as Brother Chris said, a lot of stuff is causing people to kind of pull back and maybe not go to many places, and that's okay. Important thing is that you're safe. I trust and I hope that you had a good week, and I missed being here last week, but those things do happen. If you have your Bible this morning, right before we open up in a word of prayer, would you start turning to Ephesians chapter 5 and Matthew 16. Ephesians chapter 5 and Matthew 16. Are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
It's always a special thing for me to look out and see you guys that are here, and I appreciate you so much for doing so. Let's open up our lesson in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the great privilege of being in your house. And Lord, as we look into this lesson about loving God's church, help us just to never forget how special this place is. What a great opportunity it is to come and dwell with our brothers and sisters, other believers, Lord, and even people that we don't know, maybe we've never met, with the purpose of praising you and worshiping you and looking into your word. And we know that model, we've been looking at models about what we should love in our life, Lord, and that model is something that's taught in the scriptures. And we'll see that this morning. Lord, I thank you for each of these folks who are here in Grace Walk. I pray, God, that you would keep them safe throughout this COVID situation and then even thereafter. And Lord, we pray that you would work it out so that some vaccine or medication of some sort is made available to put an end to this. And we know that you're in control, and we know that you're in charge, Lord. We just have our bit of anxiety about it, and we know that we need to leave that in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, so much has changed through the years. I say this probably weekly or every time I give a lesson, but, you know, I'm preaching to the choir, and I know that. You're not singing, some of you are, but we're seniors, and we've lived a lifetime of experiences, and so much has changed. Probably every generation has said that. I'm going to guess that every generation has said that. But really, in our generation, in our time, it has really changed quickly. Technology has made things so different these days. Our kids are young adults, and it's often that Valerie and I find ourselves in the house with the kids when they're all over, visiting with us. And often I'll say something or Valerie will say something and the kids will look at each other and smirk or laugh or something because we're talking like we talked 30 or 40 years ago or when we were a kid. And that's moved on. It's different now. What we said means something different in their current life. Things change. And one thing that has really changed quickly in the past 20 years is how we do church. Now, not so much us. I want to make that very clear. I think we are closer to what we've always had than you would find in a great many churches in Lubbock, for example. And I go to this one. I don't go to others, so I don't know. But I do talk to a lot of people. And, you know, in many churches, there's no choir anymore. In many churches, they don't sing together at all. There's a concert, so to speak. Four or five people are up here, and everybody else is sitting down or standing up. And in a lot of churches, the only thing that's light is the stage. The rest of it's all dark, and it's more of an entertainment type thing. So a lot has changed. The format has changed a lot. And it's just something that we have experienced in our church culture is that there's a lot of changes. So we've been talking about what you and I as believers should love. And we started talking about, I love God's Bible. It should be our roadmap, our rule book. It should be what we go to. It should be what we cherish. Then we looked at I Love God's Leaders, and we recognized that the model that we have at Bible Baptist Church in having a pastor is that we're adhering to the model that God puts forth in the New Testament. And then we looked at I Love God's Family, how important it is for me and you to be on the same page and be here to encourage each other and to teach each other and to hold each other accountable. That's a part of being God's family. And then the last time we were together, we talked about I Love God's Property. And although this certainly would be included in it, this chair right here, that's not really where we went with that. It's that God owns anything, everything, anyway. We're just stewards of it. And so he owns this building, and he's made us stewards of that. He owns me and my family and my job. He's made it possible for me to work. And so we should acknowledge that in our life and say, I love God's property. And today, I love God's church. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, the marriage relationship is compared to the church as a picture of Christ and His church, the husband and the wife. And right off the bat, this is not about marriage, okay? But we're going to read verses that our Lord compares to a marriage, compares the church to a marriage. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, here are three verses that open up our lesson this morning that compares the church, the relationship that the church should have with the Lord Jesus Christ, to that of a husband and a wife in a marriage. And so those three verses right there, what's brought out is that Christ did whatever he had to do for the best of the church. He gave himself for the church. He sanctified the church and cleansed it. It was important enough that he do whatever. He did whatever he had to do to take care of his church. And that's what a husband should do for his wife. So let's continue in verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So those two verses tell us that our Lord compares the church to a marriage in that men ought to love their wives as much as they as the men loves themselves, because we're one. We see these verses, we hear some of these verses, especially verse number 31 in weddings. Let's read verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be, and they two shall be one flesh. Now this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So once again, he compares the part that when the man and the woman get married, they're no longer two individuals per se, they're one flesh. And when we do weddings, when we go to weddings, that's what we hear. And that's what God's Word tells us. The church is so important to Jesus Christ that it's compared to a husband that should consider his wife to be the most special thing, as special as himself, more than himself. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 16 for one verse. Matthew 16:18 says, And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, every marriage, back to the subject of marriage, every marriage at times, can't even talk this morning, at times husbands and wives tend to take each other for granted. Have you ever done that, Brother Jim? It's just easy. You tend to take each other for granted. You've known each other. Valerie and I have been married 31 years, and there are certain things we know about each other. We just know how we're going to think. She finishes my sentences, and I finish hers. And when she gets home from work, I know that she's going to grab a cup and go to the ice machine and get some ice. And then for a certain period of time, I'm going to be here in ice crunching several hundred hours at the most. But we just know who each other are. We know each other so well. And that's the way a marriage should be. There's also a little quote, and you've heard this many times. Familiarity breeds contempt. And you got to watch in a marriage that you don't become contemptful. Well, if we compare a marriage, the husband and wife, to the church, it's also easy to remember that familiarity breeds contempt. And you can easily get so caught up in going to church, and you can easily get caught up in doing the same thing over and over, that you forget the wonder and the miracle of what this place is. As our Lord preached on this earth and as He taught the disciples, He chose words which conveyed His message. And in Matthew 16, verse 18, He says, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Now that word "church" there comes from. I'll tell you what Brother Chris tells us all the time. I don't know Greek, but I got a lot of books written by people who do, and this is what they say. That word "church" there comes from the Greek word "ekklesia," E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A, ekklesia. And it's got a couple of definitions. It's got a couple of meanings, but I didn't look the exact statistic up on this. I lost my words. I didn't look up the exact statistic on this, but like 95 or 98% of the time, this word, that the word "church" is translated from the word "ekklesia," means local assembly. That's me and you. That's me and you. And our Lord knew exactly the right word to use. The word "ekklesia" was used in that day as people gathering together, physically gathering together. They tell us that one of the more popular ways the word was used was on a civil and governmental basis. It meant an assembly of citizens of a particular city that met together to carry out the business of that city. The citizens would get together, and they would take care of the business of the city. So our Lord used this word when He tells Peter that He's going to build a church or a local assembly. And let me tell you, Peter and the disciples would know exactly what the Lord meant, because it was, historians tell us, a word that was used often. I'm going to build my local assembly. That's special. Because it's so easy in today's world to get caught up in online things. And it has been for some time. COVID-19 came upon us and churches were shut down, and that just goes to show you how quick things can change. I'm not supposed to point your fingers at people. Sorry about that. Things can change, and things changed in March. And I'm not here to give any opinion on whether online is good or bad. That's not what this is all about. I just want to dwell on the wonder this morning of the local assembly. There's a special dynamic when Dwayne and Linda and Pat and Judy and you and you and you and you. There's a special dynamic that is present when we get together. Jesus said so. Oh, the church has changed. I can remember three times a week. If you went to church, you went to church three times a week. Remember that? Long time ago. And then we saw it kind of go down to two, you know. And now I think we've successfully seen it go down to one for very many people. One service is it. And then COVID came along, and as my Matt, my son-in-law, commented back in March, and it stuck in my head, he said, well, as we get used to online services, there's going to be some people who probably won't ever come back. And there's some truth to that, I think. And I'm not talking about the medical part here. When you're being cautious and when you shouldn't get out because of danger, that is one thing. Because we want to be safe, we want to be cautious, we want to use common sense. That's one thing that God's given us is a brain to think with. So I'm not talking about any of that. But what Matt said, I believe, is a very real possibility that we very easily could get used to that online presence, BibleBaptist.com, and watch Brother Chris up there. And man, it's so easy, Linda, in that easy chair I got to do that. And when I do that, that's okay, but I will lose the wonder of being here, the local assembly. I can't get at home in my easy chair what I can get with you. That's a dynamic that I cannot change and you cannot change. And we need to appreciate the fact when our Lord was telling the disciples that he's going to build a church, that he used the Greek word which meant local assembly. I want to give you an example of this same word. Go to Acts chapter 19. Acts 19, verse 32. Now while you're turning there, remember, I know Brother Chris has told us this many times, but remember that the Greek language is so rich and there's so many shades of meanings. It's much richer than the English language. So it's often, as is often the case, a Greek word will be translated in a number of different English words. And, you know, here's the way I think about this, Stacy. Here's the way I think about this. The Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. He knows what he did when he inspired men to write this Bible. And he used words that would convey what we needed to know. Say amen.
Amen.
In Matthew 16:18, he says, I'm going to build my church, and that word comes from ecclesia. Well, there's another word here in Acts 19:32 that also comes from ecclesia, and it's translated assembly. Acts 19:32 says, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. Came from ecclesia. That word, just like the word church, came from ecclesia, local assembly. Go to verse 39. But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. There's no doubt that there was a physical group of people that had met together for a reason, because he dismissed them. How could you dismiss people that weren't there? No, the scriptures meant three times in four verses. It meant local assembly. And people say, well, what about other people who are saved, but they're not a part of our church? Well, we still have the family of God. You know that. That's not what this is all about. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So we have brothers and sisters who are not a part of our church. They're not a part of our local assembly, but they're a part of the family of God. In the book of Matthew, just a couple chapters over, in Matthew 18, our Lord talks about the procedure when brothers strive against brother when there's arguments. In fact, go ahead and turn over there to Matthew 18. And we're going to start in verse 15 and read three verses. As soon as I get turned over there. Matthew 18, verse 15. It says in verse 15 of Matthew 18, moreover, if thy brethren or brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now, if we all, there's a great many people down through the years have made no distinction between the church and the family of God. Okay? They say it's all the same, and it's not. Our Lord instituted the church, the local assembly. He told us way back in Hebrews 10:25 to not forsake the assembling, the local assembling of being together. But we also have the family of God. And in those three verses right there, can you imagine if we had a problem, say Linda and I got crossways with each other, and we did the procedure in those three verses there of going before the entire family of God? Well, number one, back in this time, it wouldn't have been possible. There's no technology. I guess with the internet now, we could do it. Get us a website and just broadcast it out to the world. All the problems that Linda and Dwayne have, be one big gossip column, wouldn't it? No, he's talking about the local assembly. He tells us later that Judas was the treasurer. Judas couldn't have been the treasurer of the family of God. He had to be the treasurer of a local assembly, a local single group of men. Another thing you hear sometimes is, especially if somebody passes away or something, and they'll say, you'll hear this right here, well, was she a member of the church? Well, now, if we're standing in a church parking lot, or everybody there is a part of a certain church, that makes sense. But just to denote the entire group of people in the world that have been saved, that's not a real accurate description. Yeah. The family of God. She was a member of the family of God, but no, she wasn't a member of the local church. For years, as I traveled, I'd listen to my favorite. I don't do this anymore because I got other things to listen to, but I'd listen to Bible teachers. You know, Chuck Swindoll and John MacArthur and David Jeremiah, you know, people that were sound in doctrine, and I'd be driving, so I'd listen to them, you know, turn on the AM radio and find them somewhere. And people, a lot of times, they'll say, no, I don't go to church, but I listen to Chuck Swindoll every day, every Sunday on the radio. And I'm like, well, you know, that's a good thing to listen to Chuck Swindoll or whoever, you know, whatever good Bible teacher that adheres to God's Word. It's a good thing to do that. But you're missing so much by not being in God's church. You know, great teachers, and these teachers and these preachers, they're a part of their own local assembly, their own church. They're not a part of ours. And the Lord tells me to be a part of my church, to not forsake the assembling of my church. And this church that we're a part of was founded in Jesus Christ. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Colossians 1:18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That tells us a little bit about what we should be about here at Bible Baptist Church. The Lord Jesus Christ should be our head. The church was founded in the time of Jesus, shortly after, at some point after he was baptized, after Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. By the way, while we're on the subject of Baptist, now I could get in trouble here, Stacy. I'm going to be very reserved as I say this. But did you know what we believe is what the New Testament believes? And the very first Baptist that came onto the scene was John the Baptist. He was the baptizer. And those that were baptized, those that believed and were baptized, excuse me, were the baptized or the baptized ones. And as Baptist, as true Baptist, there's a list of things that we hold to. Now, just because the word Baptist is on that sign out there doesn't mean we're true Baptist. What determines if we're true Baptist is if we hold to what's taught in God's Word. You say, well, what kind of things in God's Word? Well, inerrancy of Scripture, no mistakes. The deity of Christ, the virgin birth, atonement by the blood of Jesus Christ, salvation by grace through faith, eternal security, hell, heaven, all these things that's in God's Word, that makes us true Baptists. You say, well, you're getting too technical. Well, no. John believed these things, and God, or Jesus Christ called him John the Baptist. I looked up some things and found this right here. Let me tell you this right here. The Catholic Church had its beginning with Constantine in the 4th century. The Lutheran Church was founded by Martin Luther in 1520. The Episcopalian Church was founded by William or Henry VIII in 1534. The Congregational Church was founded by Robert Brown in 1580. The Methodist Church was founded by Alexander Campbell in 1827. There is no specific founder for the Baptist denomination other than Jesus Christ. What we believe is what is in the New Testament. Now, I'm not, don't leave here if you've got people that's a part of, you know, we've got friends and we've got family that's a part of all those denominations. This is not about any of that. That's different. Just know that you and I, regardless of what anybody else is doing, we can pillow our head at night knowing that we're in a church that teaches New Testament doctrine. We happen to be in a Baptist church that teaches New Testament doctrine, and we are blessed and privileged to be here. There's a special dynamic here because our Lord Jesus Christ created this thing. Man. That was coming. Valerie, you know me so well, you should have turned me off when I was about to call. She's slipping, let me tell you. We shouldn't lose the wonder of the church. And when in the day of online services, yeah, we're going to have to do that from time to time. Hey, let me tell you, if we get that, we could get administrations in our future, you know, presidents and congressmen. We could go toward a more, what would you call it, a more progressive stand. This country could go toward more progressive stances, and what we saw in March could happen a lot. You say, well, that never happened. America's free. Well, let me tell you, socialism and communism, those kinds of things, those cultures started with a reason, and it usually was a good reason. Albert, I'm going to restrict your freedom for your own good. I'm going to take away your freedom. So listen, we could see this in the future, and if we see more needs to go online as a church, then we have to do it. That's the only thing available. The Lord doesn't expect us to do the impossible. But as we're doing it, let's never forget the wonder of the local church of Jesus Christ. Here in just a minute, we'll sit under our pastor. And I don't know what he's prepared. You know, he didn't tell us that. He didn't give us advance notice. But we have faith that God's Holy Spirit knows exactly what you and I need. And we have the faith that when we get in here, if we subject ourselves to the teaching of God's Word, God's Word will do its work in our heart. Isn't that good? Amen. We can come into this place knowing that this is the place where we need to be, and we will be doing what we need to do. Besides the fact that Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's what it tells us. But besides being told to do it, it is a privilege to do it. Because this is a special place. The wonder of the church. The local assembly. Brother Albert, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?